Hallelujah. Make sure I forgot to turn on when I was back here. Praise God. Well, I tell you what, God is a good God. And it has been a rough week for some of you. Be praying for Missy Davidson. If you know, they're not here today. She fell Tuesday and thought she hurt her knee and went in and she broke her tibia. And yeah, straight across, right below the knee. So it's not a good place to be breaking, and she needs your prayers. But they, praise God, they do not have to do surgery. So that was a plus. We were believing for that. So, but I'm looking forward to what God's got to do. Good to see you here. Glad I forgot to pray for the sick, but bless God, she's here. She was not feeling well last week. Let me tell you something, folks. What the devil's wanting to stop isn't going to get stopped. He cannot stop us. The only person that can stop us is the man in the mirror. That's it. You know, I remember listening to Jesse when he was playing football. And they'd have a big team coming. You've probably heard this a lot, Joe. And when you hear it in the locker room, the boys, oh, but we're, at that time it was Danville. We never did beat Danville in that day. But, you know, we always swore that their seventh graders had diplomas and cars and they all had beards. So why not? But anyhow, you know, Jesse'd be like, oh man, but Dad, Danville, it's Danville, it's Danville. I said, so what? They're just boys putting on the same type of uniform you are. I said, if you guys already have it in your head before you ever get on the bus that you've been defeated, you've already lost the game. There's no point in playing it. You've already lost because you will not have the heart. But let me tell you something right now, folks. You'd better have heart because we don't lose this game. We do not lose. Oh, but the pastor, they're doing this. They're doing... Bless God, if you pay attention to church history, the church flourished under persecution. The church grew bigger and powerful. People were afraid. Peter walked by, evidently in his shadow, would heal people. Demons would cry out when Jesus, why are you here? That's the power that's coming back into the body of Christ. Amen. Bless God. Let's pray. Bless our tithe and offering this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. Father, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. Father, you know all. You have already conquered all. Father, the battles ahead of us, they're already won through you. Father, may we remember that always. Now, Father, we bless this tithe and this offering. I present it to you, Lord God, as holy, as sacred. Father, bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. Well, last night, I don't know about y'all, but Angela and I, we had dinner on the deck by candlelight because it was dark. But the breeze was coming out of the north and it was so cool and it was so nice, and the moon was on the other side of the house, so it was really lighting up the front of the house, and we were just sitting out there, and I, you know, when I went into to take a shower, I was like, I'm not in the mood to rock out. You know, I know that's hard to believe, but I'm like, I just want to unwind a little bit. So I found this thing on Pandora called Classical Relaxation. Beautiful, beautiful music. First song out was Claire de Lune. And so that's what it stayed on for the rest of the night. We'd sit out there, we were talking and having our dinner, and, you know, the dog was running around in the dark trying to beg for scraps, and you know, just like, and then we went to the front porch and we watched the moon finish rising, And about that time, it was 10:30, I think, and she said, I'm getting kind of cold. Well, I was sitting out there with a flannel shirt on, so. And so it was just so relaxing to just look at God's glory, the beauty that God has made. And so this morning when I got up, she had just left, and I was like, well, I need to get my shower. I kind of want to, I don't need relaxation music. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, any boxer that ever goes in, or any MMA fighter that ever goes into the ring and he's been listening to Claire de Lune, he's probably going to get his butt handed to him. Because believe it or not, what you listen to really does matter. You can relax. There's some people, well, I cleared my mind. Yeah, but your body is something entirely different. And so this morning, I went to YouTube and I brought up Messiah Prophet, Rock the Flock. So hopefully, the flock is about to get rocked. Because folks, we're living in a day and age right now that the world is rising up in full power. But you need to understand, that's why we're here. We have to rise. I saw somebody the other day posted something. I just like watching it. And just so you know, this is not a spirit-filled believer. Somebody who does believe in Christ, believes in Christ, but does not believe Christ. Okay? When I say believes in, they believe Christ exists. They believe God exists. But they do not believe in the real power of God, and they do not walk a lifestyle or a relationship with God. Said, prayer is fine, but sometimes you have to take action. And sometimes you do, and there is a time. Everybody's wanting to jump the gun right now. But understand this. Here's what I understand about prayer. My Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. All those who rise up against me shall fall. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, John had a vision of Jesus, and out of Jesus' mouth was coming a two-edged sword, and that is the word of God. That is why that is there, if anybody's ever wondered. I had a little boy ask me, why do you have a sword? Try to explain that to, I don't remember how old, he was a little boy, but he wanted to know why I had a sword. In its day, it was one of the most powerful weapons out there. We have within us the ability to believe, to prayer, that is more powerful than that thing ever was. By speaking the word of God that needs to be spoken. So don't let what the world is doing, don't let what people are saying about you, don't let what people think about you move you away from what God is doing. People are just trying. I love it because this person in particular had the opportunity to have joined the military at the appropriate age and didn't. I'm loving watching this. All these people that are, let's go fight. I'm going to kill, blood, blood, blood. Did you ever serve? No. Then you don't want to kill. You don't understand what freedom really is. We do not want to. We have some active duty people running their mouths now saying that if you better do what I say if we have to come after you. Some veteran replied back to her and said, little lady, understand this. There is well under a million active duty and reserve personnel in this country. There are, however, 6 million veterans. You seriously think we're going to listen to you? Now, I say that and I say, well, you're going to defy the government. When it comes down to telling me I can't preach, I can't pray, I can't worship, I cannot gather, absolutely, positively, I'm going to disobey. Come on, I disobeyed my parents for less than that. Those things are optimum to our faith. But most importantly in this is the Holy Spirit. We have within, and that is why people need to understand, oh, this is my battle gun. This is this. Oh, shut up. Please just shut up. We do not need a civil war in this country. It will not be good. You don't know who you can trust. The Bible says father will turn against son. He wasn't talking a civil war. He was talking about the end times, which we are absolutely in. I believe the last of those last days. And that's why it is important to have the Holy Spirit, to know when to talk, to when to be quiet, to observe. Anybody ever notice that that is a great gift God has given us, is a gift of observation. Sometimes we need to zip our lips and use our eyeballs a little bit more and see what's happening. Let me tell you how God works. The other night I was coming home from Marion. It was quarter after 8 or so. So it's getting dark. It might have been 8:30 actually at that point. And I come past the old HPM plant that's been tore down. And I saw this guy on the side of the road walking, and he's got a cane, and he's walking like this. I mean, he's right there at that ditch. And I thought, holy moly. I said, there's no sidewalk there. He is walking on the berm, and other than that, it's a 3-foot deep ditch right there. So I whipped in there real quick, spun around, rolled the window down, and I said, hey, man, you need a ride somewhere. Now, mind you, this guy is this tall. Well, he literally is this tall right here. Okay. I know for a fact he was about 6'2 the last time. And so he said, yeah, if you could just take me up here. And he said, and then I'll go to the other places I need to go, but I need to start here. I said, all right. He was going to go get a lottery ticket. Pastor, I can't believe you were taking him to get a lottery ticket. That's so sinful. First off, it's not in your Bible. Yes. Second off, it's not my money. I don't care what he does with it. Right? How about we just start paying our own, minding our own P's and Q's on that? So I whip in there, down here to the drive-thru, whatever, Ohio 95, whatever they changed it into. And my truck is sitting there broadside so the whole world can see that I'm sitting in front of the liquor store. I pull in there. The guy just looks over at me. He says, you look familiar. I mean, how many times have I told you? I get that a lot. And I said, well, I am in the paper kind of regularly. He looks at me. He says, are you Art Waddell? Yeah. We went to school together. I said, no kidding, and he introduced himself. I said, holy moly, I haven't seen you since we graduated. 32 years. Or 33. 33 years. 33 years. And before that, he had even gone, I didn't even see him as a senior, so make it 34. Because I think he went to Tri Rivers. We used to be good friends. And because I told him, as he was getting ready to get out, I said, hey, man, be blessed. And that's when he stopped and asked all that. And I said, he says, you still preaching? I said, yeah. He said, where you at? And I told him, he said, you might see me someday. I said, by all means, I'd love to see you. Now, let me tell you how this works. You got to do what God says to do. I had no idea that this guy was my old friend. We've changed that much. And his family relationship isn't great. He just lost his dad last year. And so I went out to get gas, and I thought, Lord, do I need to take him elsewhere? Do I just need to take him where he needs to go? So I put some gas in the truck real quick and ran up there, and I sat there in front of the door, right in front of the door, and I could see him at the machine. He was picking his numbers, doing whatever they do. I sat there for darn near 30 minutes. And I said, Lord, okay, this is indeed you. Stop me. Tell me before I leave this parking lot. Because he has not looked up, and this is what he does. I believe he's on disability because he was all jacked up. And anyhow, I left. went home, and I was just kind of bubbling, you know. When you do something good, and you find out, man, that's somebody I knew. God, you are so good. Boy, I got the next morning. Let me tell you what happened. I got hit in the head figuratively with a Louisville slugger that took me the rest of the day to get out from underneath, to recover. And it was through prayer, letting off the steam to my wife, not at her, just so you know. I didn't let it off at her. She comes in, she's like, why are you so serious? And she just, so you're not going to tell me? And I told her. And it allowed me to be able to pray, to be able to just say, God, you need to do something. I turned on some good Christian music. Because listen, if you're getting battled, the last thing you need to listen to is what the world's got to say about it. You need to hear what God has to say. If you need some good music, music ministers to me. It doesn't minister to everybody, but music does minister to me, just kind of like Saul. And by the way, a lot of people get ministered to by music, not just people who are oppressed by demons. And so, but I began to pray in the spirit, and I began to feel that stuff coming off. And I began to feel the strength rising back up. Because, you know, Missy's deal wasn't the only thing we had been praying for. And there were several other things we had that came up. It's like boom, boom, boom. You got wildfires all around. So you begin to pray. And let me tell you what, I never understood it until I started doing this. It's draining. It is physically draining. That's why Jesus went to the mountain by himself. He couldn't even have his disciples around because they were drawing from him. That's why when the woman who touched the hem of his garment, he said, who touched me? It was because he felt the power of God drain out of him. And it does. And so I was like, I need to be praying, man. I just started praying and praying and praying. I said, I'm going to do this. And I did a few things and got around. I was like, you know what? Bless God. I'm okay. And I tell you that so that, first off, you understand it happens to everybody. Oh, but Pastor, you come in here, you're just so excited, Angel. So you wouldn't barely have guessed that we just had a knockdown drag out before we walked in. That does not today, no. I'm just painting an imaginary picture there for you. We try to protect that anointing. That is why there doesn't need to be any garbage before service. You need to talk to us, set up a time during the week, not before here. We're ministering. And if we are wore out before we get up here, we have nothing to give. So, but anyhow, but just so that when you're in those cities, how many of you had a craptastic day sometime this week? Come on, get them up. There you go. Thank you for being honest. You had one of those days, and it didn't have to last the whole day. It's just like, what now? You know, I've been fighting for how many weeks now with my hot water heater? It's a new hot water heater. We put it in last spring. The anode rod. Anybody ever messed with one of those? Oh, this thing is... I can't get mine out. The nut rounded off, and it's inside the body. It's a $400 tank. It's new. They don't warrant that. I've got bought sockets. I've borrowed tools. I'm like, so I think I get somewhere. I go down and mess with them. I'm like, okay, bless God. Walk away. And it's brass, or else I would just put something to weld down in there and pull the thing out somehow. I don't know how I'm getting it out. God's going to have to show me. But, you know, it's just like, come on. So now, you know, I can kind of smell the rotten egg a little. And I'm sick of it. But you know what? Too bad, so sad. Trust me, I have bathed in worse water. Or just not bathed at all. And I refuse that option. I'm not Matthew McConaughey, Brad Pitt, or some of them other people that don't bathe but once a week. Y'all would do good in an Amish commune. But anyhow, so the Holy Spirit in us, when we begin to pray and we allow God to begin to pray and we begin to pray in the Spirit, we've got scripture for today, trust me. The 19 verses we didn't get last week. But when we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, I think maybe at some point I said something and I'm sorry, I was wrong if I said that the Holy Spirit is like a machine gun. Anybody beside, Dave, you've probably fired one, right? One or two. You fired, yep. Oh, yeah. You know you did. You were firing at real enemies. Okay, so there's probably four of us in here who have fired a machine gun. You need to understand something. Even if you don't like guns, it's awesome. Okay? It is awesome. What do you mean I just spent $600 in ammo? But God is not like that, because you need to understand that machine gun is for suppression fire. It does not go after the source of the problem. It makes the enemy drop down. Because in all honesty, you know, you've seen these people that take in the movies and they'll take a machine gun and they'll write their name on a wall. I watched them do this on Mythbusters. They tried to write their name. Yeah, that doesn't look anything like my name. Because the machine gun is all over the place, which is one of the reasons the Marine Corps teamed up with the Air Force and created the M16A2. Three-shot burst, single-shot rest of the time. Because the wars before, they had, I think, I'm going to guess at these numbers, I forgot to look them up. Say World War II, they had one kill for every 1,100 rounds spent. Okay? Vietnam, that number jumped to 19,000 rounds to one kill. Because we had these small, lightweight machine guns that they could just do this. They didn't have to get out and aim. And they said, we got a problem. We're not hitting our targets. See, that's why I say, if I think I have said it and I was wrong. God corrected me last night. God, the Holy Spirit, is not like a machine gun. He's like a sniper rifle. One shot, one kill. God hones in through the Holy Spirit on the problem at hand. He doesn't say, well, I didn't get anything. I made a lot of noise. But I didn't do anything. Or I put some holes in the wall. That doesn't win the war. He said, one shot. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is for. It is for hitting the target. It's the Holy Spirit speaking back to God what needs to be done in a situation. So if you're talking about addictions, if you got somebody that you love in your family, they've got an addiction, you had better be praying in the Spirit, because you can go after all the things you want, but God says there's something else. I'm the only one who can see it. Because that's why I said, when love is matured, we don't need it. But I don't think that's going to happen until Jesus returns. Because he says, then we'll be known as we are known if you keep going. We see in a mirror dimly. So today, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, starting verse 1. Pursue love. Pursue love. Don't pursue money. Don't pursue fame. Don't pursue success. Pastor, what are you saying? I'm telling you to pursue love in all things. I'm not a self-help coach. I'm not a motivator. My kind of motivation is the kind of, I love this video. I love watching it on YouTube. I'm telling you where they're at so you can go watch them if you think I'm crazy. This Marine drill instructor is at an event, and they have these kids. I don't know if they're pulleys or what the deal is. And this kid runs up to this Marine drill instructor and says, "What's up?" You could just see the countenance of that drill instructor change. And he looked at him, and he just pointed and said, "Run." He let the kid get about 20 yards, and he took off after him, barking the whole time. That's me. That's my idea of motivation. You can do it, little Johnny. Yay, he got across the line. I'm the guy that's kind of like on the judge. Come on, come on, you can do it. You can do, look, you just did the whole field. But you were too worried on your own little self. But yet inside you, something else, you sometimes need somebody screaming at you. Oh, I just shut down. That's what needs to happen. You need to shut down and let the Holy Spirit kick in. But if you want success and you want to do it the world's way, because guess what? It's all going to burn, baby. I would rather have success God's way. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. He said desire tongues, desire prophecy, desire wisdom, knowledge. Desire that. That means that desire, folks, you need to understand. This is a powerful word. It just does, I mean, oh man, I'm just kind of hungry. What do I want? No. It was like, there's one other word that would explain this as easily as anything. That word is lust. It's a burning desire for these gifts. Not for your own gain. Understand that. This is where people get wrong when they start desiring these gifts for their own benefit. I don't care. But if the Holy Spirit can show me something, can tell me something about a situation, then maybe I can help them. But especially that you may prophesy. Again, we talked about this last week. Prophesying is not necessarily foretelling the future, but it is edifying the body of Christ, bringing forth the word of God to build somebody up. All right? Next. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Understand that. You are not speaking to anybody here because nobody here understands a word you're saying. Da. Anybody know what that is? Da. I don't know how it's spelled, but I'll just say D-A-H, da. That is yes in Russian. Da. Nit. You've already heard that on the Pepsi commercial, right? Or Coke or whatever it was back in the 80s. Nit. No. But if I hadn't told you what I just said, you had no clue what I was saying. Most of you should remember Domo Arigato. I think Morgan is like, Mr. Roboto? That was the song. And if you listen to the song, they tell you, thank you very much, Mr. Robot, for taking away my job. That's what the song's about. But it became a catchy thing, and everybody, oh, Domo Arigato. Nobody knew what they were saying. For he does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mystery. Next. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Stop right there. There is a bit of a differentiation here now. There is a tongue that is for us and as an individual, and then there's the tongue that is brought forth in a service for the edification of the church. Okay? When you pray in the spirit or pray in tongues, I will tell you, and I can testify to the fact, I even feel more powerful. There was one time I explained to Angela, we were holding hands with another group of believers, and we were praying about some things, and I was just praying in the spirit. And I said, I looked down, and it was almost as if my arms, I had grown. But I said, my arms looked like they were way down there. I said, I just felt the power of God surging through me. Oh, you're going to go take on. I could take on anything I needed to at that point, baby. I run through a brick wall if I had to. God doesn't want me running through brick walls. They hurt. But he who prophesies edifies the church. When God brings forth a word to edify, to build up, sometimes it has to be a on the backside. I hope to God we never have to get one of them. But they are there. Generally, that was what a prophet's job was to do, because everybody likes to hear the blessing messages, don't they? Oh, you'll be blessed, 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 blessed. You do this, you're blessed, 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 blessed. You say blessings, you're blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessing, 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 right? But God comes in and says, stop it, you little ignorant fools. Church gets quiet. Oh, we don't want to hear that, Pastor. We don't want to hear that we've been bad. We want to hear that we've just been good. We don't want to hear nice things. That is why churches can grow so fast, so quick, because people don't want to hear. You've got to address the sin. You have to address it in your life. Don't worry about your neighbor. That's a big problem in the body of Christ. Oh, but don't you know what they're doing? I pray about them. Yeah, there's a problem. Shut up and let God do what he needs to do in their life. You don't know where they're at. You don't know where they've come from. But for you to adopt a self-righteous attitude is as much sin as anything in the Bible. So don't let ideologies fog up what you're thinking. Well, that church is bigger. That church is this. That church is that. I don't care. I don't care what programs they got doing. We're not doing them. We're just not doing them. Programs do not build people. They attract people, absolutely. People are only there for a good time. George Strait kind of people, right? Not here for a long time, just a good time. That's one of his songs. I'm not here. They're just here for a good time. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, man, we got to listen to that. Man, they got the great praise and worship, you know. Oh, they got things for my kids to do. My kids, man, look at that. They got a trampoline in the center of the kids' room. Ain't happening. We're not putting a ball court in here. You want to play basketball? Go down there to the asphalt basketball court and play ball. Guess what you run into down there? People who might be looking for Jesus. The summer that I was leaving for boot camp, I would go down there with a friend of mine, Dwayne. We'd go down there and we'd play basketball. We just play with whoever shows up. Okay? Mind you, I was only maybe an inch taller than I am now. And Dwayne was 6 foot, but he was 285. He's not jumping. But boy, you didn't want to get in his reach. And we'd go down there and we were playing basketball. And we started playing with some of these guys, people that were kicked to the curb because people didn't want to be around. They weren't the right people. They're just not the right family. Do you know their family? Listen, if you knew my family, you would run. We all got family like that, let's just be honest. We just don't talk about them. Anyhow, that summer, we got to tell this one particular kid about Jesus. Now, this would have been in June of 1989. August of 1989, he was killed. Do you see how important it is to get out into the world? Oh, but I got to protect mine. You got to build up your children. I didn't raise little wusses. I raised men of God. And yes, when they become on their own, they have to develop even more. My parents could only take me so far. The Marine Corps could only take me so far. But in the end, it was God. And if we aren't out there, if we don't have teachers, if we don't have coaches who are out there, and by the way, you have to be a light. You have no choice. If you just blend in with everything, I'm not saying, well, you know, you got to change your dress and everything. That's the first thing that Christians do. Well, preacher, you need to be wearing a detergent robe. Women, you need to have your hair cranked up in the bun. Your skirts need to be down here. You got to wear furniture dollies on your head. That doesn't make you holy. Doilies, not dollies. Well, that's exactly what I thought when I said that. Furniture dolly. Yeah, I got a couple of those. The doilies. None of this stuff makes us holy. Well, preacher, you can't have electric guitars in your service playing like that. Well, Brother Jimmy, I'm sorry, but you got three of them in yours. Don't tell me God doesn't move through rock music. Rock music is nothing more than Martin Luther saying, hello, wake up. This generation, by the way, it's not my generation that created rock music, folks. Look at the Stones, man. They're older than dirt. They're still rocking. Eddie Van Halen had a hip replacement. These guys are having body parts replaced. And they're still rocking. They invented it. But I think they had to do it because the church was like, nah, 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 nah. No, I would rather have something rebellious. Jesus was rebellious. He was not a conformist. He did not conform to the way Judaism was had become. He was rebellious against the religious establishment. He ate with prostitutes. He sat with the drunkards. He went to people that they said, you're a sinner. Why? Because he's collecting taxes? He has a job? He would rather choose to be safe than have a Roman soldier come in there and beat the socks off of him every 5 minutes? They aren't going to beat their tax collectors. Well, you're overtaxing. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, hogwash. If you'd have just served God from the beginning there, you religious cretin, you wouldn't have Rome to thank for this. And by the way, do you know who invited Rome? I did not know this until I started doing some studying. Israel went to Rome and said, hey, we're about to be attacked. Can you help us out? Be careful who you make your bedfellows. Rome grew and became powerful and brought everybody who said, yeah, we'll be buds with you, brought them into submission. All right, next. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So one guy brings forth the tongue. Another guy brings forth the interpretation. Who's greater? Well, according to Paul, the one who brought it forth so that you can understand what he just said. It'd be like, I was talking to Joe this morning. He was telling me about Faye's new vehicle out there. He said, yeah, man, you connect that to your phone. It's got GPS with your phone and all that. I said, I know, it's on my truck. I said, and they'll read your text messages to you. Until I changed the battery, mine used to actually send a message back saying, I'm driving. Leave me alone. No, I'm driving. I'll call, check later. But it'll have a thing on there that says, listen or ignore. And I can listen to the message. Now, here's the number one culprit of this particular crime for me. She loves to send pictures. You know when you've looked at a picture at the end of it, and it's got this description that's about this long and ends with JPG? It reads the whole thing off. Do you know how long it takes? I'm like, seriously? Yeah, or emojis. It'll do the same thing. I'm like, why? Why did you send me? Why? Why, Jesus? No. But if I don't know what that said, I don't know. However, when I get stopped somewhere, you know, to get out of my truck, I can click on my text messages. Thumbs up or laughy face. But you see, my truck only brought forth a message. The phone interpreted it. I could see what it was saying. So the person who's actually interpreting it so I understand what he's saying means something. Other times it's like, hey, could you speak to me in layman's terms? I had to talk to the chiropractor the other day. He was working on me and we were joking. He was telling me about doctors. He said, actually, physicians are not doctors. He said, to be a doctor, you must be able to teach. He said, we should not be called doctors. And he said, and he told me about an experience he had with a MD who went on this rant about why he shouldn't be called doctor. He said, I never spoke to the guy again. But anyhow, I just start laughing as he's telling me this. And he's like, what? And I said, okay. I said, so there's a scene on Wild Hogs. As soon as I said Wild Hogs, he just starts laughing. And I said, you know, where Tim Allen's in the hospital, and the doctor comes in, and he says, well, Mr. So-and-so, and he's actually doctor. And, oh, well, then I'll make this real easy for you. And he starts speaking to him in physician terms. And he looks at him and says, stop. I'm a dentist. I have no idea what you just said. You're stressed out, dude. And so that's the thing. Doctor comes, oh yeah, doctors and nurses, you're awful for this. Okay, I know a little bit, and I don't lay around looking at medical journals, so I know the latest, greatest terms, so I can, and nurses and doctors need to, don't get me wrong. If you ain't a nurse or a doctor, why do you care what a cardiac infarction is? I think I said that right. Did I, Brenda? Yeah, see? Now, if you've had one, I hope you know what, because they tell me things, I'm like, I have not, I still don't. I'm like, yeah, I'll tell you what it feels like. Which, by the way, praise God. I'm going to share a little bit of her testimony. She went and had her checkup. There's absolutely no damage to her heart, none of her organs. Don't tell me there's not a God. Because one thing they said, you should be dead. Yeah. Not alive, not certainly not sitting here in service giving glory to God. I mean, all right, next. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, or when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it know what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For it will be spoken into the air. There are, it may be so many, we've already done something. Where did I stop at last week? Do you remember, Jason? That's why we're doing this all again, because I forgot to mark it. And none of them is without significance. Next. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner. Yep, next. We hit that last week. You can go back to last week's message. We'll stop right here. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel, not for your personal gain. Well, I've got a gift of prophecy. I'm going to start a ministry on prophesying to people. No. Understand this. This is not what you need to be doing. You need to understand your gift and your role. There are prophets that are in churches. I know certain people, they actually go and find a prophet who's got a ministry built up and say, well, we need to be, you're going to be our prophet, speak into our lives. Just understand, I have not done that, nor will I do that. I'm not seeking somebody to tell me if I'm so hard-headed that God has to send somebody to tell me to obey God, I have a serious problem. And I would hope to God that it could be somebody right up on the street. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but God said you had better get your act right. You had better obey him. Anyhow, next. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, this is something that Paul was adamant about. If you bring forth a tongue, you better be praying that you can bring forth the interpretation if there's not an interpreter. Otherwise, keep your lips shut. Oh, but that's grieving the Holy Spirit. Again, that is not grieving the Holy Spirit. If you got the faith to bring forth the tongue, you better have the faith to bring forth the interpretation. Next. For if I pray in my tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. When praying is particularly what I want to get into on this. When we're praying in tongues, we don't understand what the Bible's saying. We don't know what God is saying. We don't know what we're saying. I've told you about the University of Pennsylvania that, or Penn State, I'm sorry. Penn State did a study, and they said, we're going to prove that this is made up. And so they got believers who believed in the power of the Holy Spirit, and they put those electrodes on their heads and everything. He said, we're going to show you that they're making this up, that their brains are doing it. And when they began to pray, nothing changed. Not one thing changed. They said, we don't understand it. These things should be just going all over the place. And one of them said, it's because it's not us. It is the Spirit. It is not made up. Let me tell you right now, if those people were skeptics at that point, I hope to God they got the message. It's not made up. I can turn it on and I can turn it off, but I will not do it for show. This isn't show and tell. Next. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how he will occupy the place of the uninformed, say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding, that I may also teach, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 in words in a tongue. Evidently, we did the whole thing again. But for a reason, evidently. Because I'm here to tell you, folks, our tongues are not a fluke. They're not to be toyed with. They're not to make you weird. They have their place, and they don't have their place. And that is where I prefer to stand, apart from other charismatic type churches like us, who always just tongues all the time. It's chaos. Paul also says, let two or three at the most. He said, you got people all the time standing up and giving words. Somebody got a song. And here's another thing. The singing thing. I've been in churches where it don't matter. You got a song, y'all just sing. You know, brother, you just sing. Oh, brother, you cannot sing. God gives certain people the gift to sing. There's a reason I'm not on the pulpit or up here singing. I can't sing. I can sing cadences. I can sing them good. But I cannot sing like they do. It's not my gift. And we need to understand. You may have a desire. Listen, inside of me, there's a little Eddie Van Halen. I can't play the stinking guitar. And I always thought, oh yeah, my hands are too small. My hands are bigger than Jesse's. What gives? God took my desire and gave him the ability. Praise God. And now we got Carsey. Started out on that violin. I remember her playing right about where she's at, because there was a room right there. In there, and you remember we talked about if a sour note, whatever. She was just learning. And I remember hearing her back here. I was like, ooh, Rob's like, And I'm like, but now, folks, she has played with symphonies. She can play here. She's playing guitar. She didn't know this other stuff. And by the way, you're doing good. But understand this. Just because I have a desire to play guitar doesn't mean God's anointed me to. God had an anointing somewhere else. He gave me a loud set of pipes for a reason. I don't need this microphone. It's only here so that you can be recorded. That's it. I think I've told this story before, and I'm going to wrap up. I knew my calling, I knew my gifting, as I even thought way back. I was like, God, why? When I was 6 years old, we were homeless, meaning we were transient between families of our family. We were in Buffalo, West Virginia, living with one family, then lived with my great-grandma, and it was right around Christmas time, and Star Wars was about to come out, So that tells you how long ago it was. And that I was part of the Christmas play. And I had a line I had to memorize. And Dad worked with me and I memorized that line. What I want for Christmas. I want a bouncy ball. And I want a red wagon to pull behind. That's it in a nutshell. But I know it had that bouncy ball and that red wagon. But when I got up, and you need to understand, when I say I was short, I am not stinking kidding. I was little. Did not really grow until 6th, 7th, and 8th grades. And then I stopped and started going in reverse. Not a fan of that. But I got up on that stage in front of that entire gymnasium full of parents. And they had the microphone standing up there. And here's this little teeny tiny guy. And I did my line. And I remember, and the teacher said, speak up, speak loud. Okay. I got up there, and I did my line perfect. And I was so proud. You know, when you practice, and you're like, okay, most people, they get up in front of somebody, that's all, folks. You know, your nerves start taking up. 6 years old, and I'm standing up there, and I do my line. The entire place erupts in laughter. I'm like, what the heck? You gave the kid the last time who forgot half of his a hand clap. And they all laughed, and then they started applauding. And I asked Mom, why did he laugh? And she said, because what they saw was a little boy, smaller than everybody else, but 10 times louder. I should have known God had a point for my voice. I should have known. But I'm telling you, your gifts are your gifts. Don't desire. I wanted to play guitar. Oh, yeah, I mean, lead singer of the band, he always gets all the attention, right? Doesn't matter if he's any good on an instrument. He's the lead singer. Well, that's what I wanted to be, lead guitarist or singer. Well, I can't do either one of them. But by crackies, I can preach loud. I can talk loud if I need to. I can get your attention. And just so you know, there's a certain volume when my voice does change. My boys have heard it. My dog heard it this morning. Found him someplace he wasn't supposed to be. He's not allowed on the furniture. He was on somebody's bed. Yeah. You let your dogs on your furniture, more power to you. I don't. But that's my thing, and I went up and I was like, Joshua, he's like, I know what he heard. It changes. Well, that's authority. No, that was just sheer, I'm going to skin you alive and nail it to the barn siding. But your giftings are for you. Don't sit here and look, oh, I wish I could do what he does. Well, he probably can't do what you do. Well, I wish I had Sister Angela's anointing to be able to sing and, you know, lead praise. Well, that's fine and dandy, but what's your anointing? What are you anointed and gifted at? Everybody has something. I was just sitting here thinking this morning, I was like, I could actually, if I had practiced, I probably could have played drums. I was a sound man for a band, and I filled in for our drummer one night, and he's like, wow. We may just have to get rid of him. No, don't get rid of him. But I was just sitting here before we came up. I don't know if you pay attention to things, but you got to pay attention to little details. That's what I like about music, especially, and that's why I play it loud, because there's details you don't hear at low volumes. Plus, I like to feel it. Pick up the beat. Joshua had three different things going on. He had a cymbal, he had a snare, and he had his bass. and in the hi-hat. Every limb of his body was doing something. Well, you don't need. Oh, yes, you do. You need all that. Understand this. This is an anointing on him. This is a gifting on him. Same thing with Justin, but I just happened to, Joshua was playing today. But when they play, these guitarists, there's a spot they've got to be. The keyboards, you've got to play them right or they go sour on you real quick. That's their anointing. Operate in yours. Ask God, what am I gifted at? And when you, let me tell you something, folks, when you embrace it, when you embrace what your gifting is, you will never regret it. I always loved just serving in the church. I've served in every area possible, except as an elder. That was it. I served in everything. I cleaned toilets, took care of babies, led youth groups, fixed buildings, sound man, roadie, in a couple of those occasions. I did whatever needed to be done. Now, other people eventually saw it, but they never wanted to tell me. They go, oh, I don't care. I'd rather God tell me. And God did. And I'm here to tell you, you have your anointing. Listen to the Holy Spirit. What are you gifted at? It'll show up in your natural giftings. God, they just didn't, you just don't have them because, well, I got this, I can't do this here. Why not? And no, your gifting is not stripping. Just saying. Don't know why I felt like saying that, but somebody needed to hear that. Well, I can, you know, I've got this. Please don't dance seductively. Please. Please, we don't need seductive dancing. It's just, I don't know. We need people who are searching for God. If you wonder why I keep standing over, it's because the camera's over here. Because we got people watching at home. Never thought I'd be a televangelist. Here I am killing it. Evidently, God wanted something out of what we just redid. Said today, because we have got to focus on what we're gifted and called for. I can do lots of things. I always announce myself, master or a jack of all trades, master of none, right? Well, that's real confident. Yeah, I can fix your electric, jack of all trades, master of none. I just assume you know what you're doing with my electric. Just because I can do it doesn't mean it's what I'm supposed to do. My gifting was something that showed up early. And it was more than just hollering. And just so you know, there's also a protective side that showed up early too, towards my friends and family. My sister was just born. I was 4 years old. Make sure I got the years right. Yeah. She was born, I was 4 years old. And the neighborhood kids were downstairs. We lived in Cleveland, east side of Cleveland. And the neighborhood teenage kids were downstairs and they were playing and they were making noise. And mom said, I went down, I'm four, so I'm even shorter. I'm 4 years old, went down, and I stood there, and I said, hey, be quiet. My sister is sleeping. She said, it was all I could do to get down there to get you before they pummeled you. But understand this. I stood up for my sisters and brothers several times. I've stood up for my country. I'll stand up for you. But I'm also going to let you try to develop your own legs. There came a point my brothers had to stand up for themselves too. Because whenever I hear somebody done somebody else wrong in here, you can ask Angela. I'm just like, let's just go. Come on. Man, I'm, bless God, I'll go for it. We'll grab Pat and we're going to go take care of this. They ain't going to nobody treat Pat like that. No, I can't do that. Not allowed to do that. But it doesn't mean that I don't pray. And at that point, I have to pray in the Spirit because I'm no longer operating in love. All right, let's stand. By the way, Steve, look what I got this week. I got new glasses. No, I didn't even use them. But it is so good to be able to see. Now, I want to tell you, if you're wanting things of the Holy Spirit, here's what I'm going to tell you. Right now, I don't feel led to have any prayer lines. Ask God in your prayer time to fill you. And it'll take time, and then just start trusting Him. That's what I had to do. Everything I've ever had to do, I've had to just trust Him. And I realized this week, I was up in the attic connecting a couple of branches off the AC over there. You know, the rafters are 4 feet apart. And you're up there hunched over, and you got to move your foot specifically to a spot. And I'm standing up there, and the Holy Spirit says, you know what you're doing, don't you? I said, no. He says, you're actually moving in faith. It's like, well, I know. Okay, explain how. He says, so many people are waiting for the step to show up. They say, well, I'm just going to take a blind leap in faith. And God said, when you are stepping out in faith, you need to know there's something there. It's not you're just going to go, whoop. It's there's something there. And that's what I, because most of the time I'm either stepping on a board that's this wide or this wide. And I had to reach out. I was like, I know it's there, God, and find it. Now, you know when we fall on flat on our face is when we get cocky. And when you're hanging out in the attic and there's a 14-foot drop, cocky is not what you want. Faith. I know there's a wall there, but I'm not letting go of this, but I have already made the step. See, that was the part. People said, well, you just got to let go. Hello, you could still hold on to the things that you need to hold on to and take that step. God does that. And when you're in dangerous situations, God's never going to say, oh, yeah, just let go. He just wants you to take the step. And the more you take the steps, the more you trust where your feet are going. It got to a point where I even had a plank slid across them, and I'm sitting up there, and it's like, I hope this plank will hold. It's an LVL. It just weighs a ton. But I'm telling you, folks, faith. Believe God for what you're asking Him. He'll give it to you. I will end with this. I heard a song this week. I told Hans, I said, holy moly, I can't believe the guy who's singing the song is singing this. And I was just like, wow. But the one that got me, if you want faith, you've got to believe. You've got to believe. By the way, that was not sung by a Christian. Total heathen. It was Sammy Hagar. Yeah. If you want love, you've got to give a little. You've got to give love. It's the name of the song. I just listened to it and I was just like, oh my goodness. It came up in a random play. I said, God, that is the truth. You spoke. Again, you've spoken to your minister through a brute beast. because he's not a man of God. I pray he does find that God, because what he spoke in that song is so true. If you want faith, you've got to believe. You've got to start believing this word. It wasn't written, it wasn't collected just so that we could have some new rules to go by. There are no rules. Get it? There are no rules except love. When it violates love, it's against love. It's against the law. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and I praise you. Father, I thank you, first off, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, I pray that you help each and every one here at the sound of my voice today to step out in those faith areas and believe you, trust you. Father, knowing that there is a place for their next step. But if they want to keep moving forward, they have to reach out and take that step, Father. They have to. They can still hold on to the things in back, but they've got to take that step first and then get solid. Father, I pray that you help them. Father, I pray that you, that those who are asking for your Holy Spirit, Father, I pray that in their prayer time you fill them. Father, you douse them in this overwhelming joy, this power, Father, of your presence. Father, I thank you for moving in their lives. Father, for making them realize they are the victor in any situation. Father, I thank you and praise you that for those who are in a situation where that door has been wrongfully shut, that you open it. Father, that you show them what happened, Father, and that the power that you have can open it if they dare believe. Now, Father, I pray for those who are sick today. Lord, I thank you. You're touching their bodies. You're healing them. Father, we thank you. You're healing Missy's leg. You're healing that break. Father, I thank you and praise you right now that you're touching people all across this state. Father, we thank you for the drug busts that have taken place this past week even. Father, I thank you and praise you that these things are being removed. And now, Lord, I bless your people. I thank you for them, Father. I bless them as they go to their jobs, as they go shopping. Father, as they gather with family and friends, in Jesus' name, amen.